någonstans i Nordmark.
Well, hello, Vanna.
Hello, Bea.
How you
long
doing?
Long time no see. Or is
oh,
it
yeah, no.
Not really long time?
No.
Must have 2 weeks ago, right?
Couple of weeks, as usual. Yeah, yeah. So, this became nicer weather than last time. I mean, we're sort of getting spring.
I think I've had every kind of weather there is, actually.
I mean,
this last week.
It's April.
Yeah.
And it kind of shows. But, yeah. It's a thing, but I don't think we should. We really waste precious episode time talking about the weather?
Nah,
it's
no. We have so much more better things to talk about and better persons to talk about.
What are we gonna do today?
Well, we have a guest here.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yeah. So lovely guest. Welcome, and would you please like to introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Perttu Katariinan tytär Roisko from Arnimetsä. Mundanely, or in real life, my name is Lea Viljanen, and I am from Finland, the land
Yay!
Of not really polar bears, but maybe a million lakes.
Well, I mean, same amount of polar bears as we have in Sweden, then, I would say.
Yep. That's why
I wonder where that came from.
One country at one point of the time. So
exactly. Yeah. So we're extremely happy to have you as a guest on our podcast for the first time. So we have some guests that are coming back and tend to end up with us over and over again. But we are always extra happy to have someone for the first time in the podcast. So
really excited to be a guest with you.
Yay!
I think we have a fabulous time, and I hope the listeners are not going to be bored to death.
Yeah. I don't think so. They usually seem pretty happy with our episodes, just like hearing us talking, chatting around. Mm-hmm. So we of course asked you to join us because we like you and we wanted to talk to you. That's the main thing. But also because we find it fun now that we have the chance to talk to people from all over Drachenwald, to invite people from different areas. And then, of course, Arnimetsä is an interesting thing. So I think that we would like to, if you want to share something about like Arnimetsä, your story in Arnimetsä, like how did you find the SCA from the beginning?
Well, that is actually an interesting thing in itself, because I've been in Arnimetsä basically from the start, not quite from the start, but almost. Mm-hmm. And what's happened is that back in the late 80s, I'm that old, I was role playing in this group, and this role playing is a gateway drug to SCA and things like that. And one of the persons in that role play group found a, I don't know actually where he found the ad for this medieval themed picnic in the Sveaborg fortress outside Helsinki. And so I went there with my role-playing friends, and that kind of was the start, especially when I then realized that some of the other people in the SCA group were actually also computer science students at the University of Helsinki. So I started hanging around with them, and also the online presence at that time was also a thing because we were computer science students, and of course the computer science students are going to do whatever they're doing computer aided, so lots of things were hanging around in various chat groups and things like that. So it kind of escalated with that, especially when I then found a spouse from that route as well. So,
of course.
Yeah, and that's of course a topic that we have touched upon previously in other episodes. Yeah.
Yes, we have all gone down that road.
Finding spouses and partners and people in general to hang out with. So
yeah,
it's an important thing. Yeah,
but I've been interested in history like all my life. So I read a lot of history and historical books and things like that, rummaging the library for interesting stories. So mm-hmm. it's not like this. Let's say that I was very, very much a target group for this society, even if I'm a computer geek. So
yeah, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was in the Helsinki area,
yes, as well,
in Sveaborg. And then, but have you been active in that area of Arnemets all the time, or have you moved around? And
no? Sorry, I'm just Helsinki border bred and not moving.
yeah.
So that's I've been staying put.
Yeah, reasonable. But do you, how many groups are there in Arnemets now that are active? Do you know?
It kind of like there are four or five like strong groups, mm. and then a couple of that come and go, let's say, whenever there's active mm-hmm. people.
Mm.
Like the major city are always a good places to find
mm.
like-minded people. The actual mm-hmm. Information you can find on the web, arnemetsa.org.
Mm.
And I'm not going to start spelling Arnemetsa for.
Nah. we will do that in the episode, in the text about the episode, so people.
It's all taken us some time to learn how to spell Arnemetsa. Yeah. But mm. I'm quite good at it now.
Once you've learned, it's actually stuck there, yes. So it's fine. Yeah. It's not that bad. So
yeah.
There are some Nordmark mm. areas that are quite hard to spell mm. as well. So
yeah,
it's not that easy. So yeah. Cool. So you ended up there because of course your interest for history and, mm. and also for the computer computer science geek people and stuff.
Mm.
Is that why you stayed as well, or is that did you find new interests to start doing once you joined the SEA?
Well, it says why I stayed is because of the people.
Mm.
That's what I find like-minded people who don't mind geeking out on certain things, whether it's like 13th century buttons or sword pommels or whatever. I'm fine. Yes, we all have those weird interests and nobody bats an eye, especially in this society. People are encouraged to have weird interests and so on.
Mm.
But let's say the first 10 years or so, I wasn't actually, this medieval thing wasn't my main hobby at all. So I was actually I was back then an active sports coach, which took like four or five evenings a week.
Oh, wow.
So I was basically just hanging around, going to events. I didn't have a lot of time to do things. So I arranged some events here and there, and I was a officer of various types, chaplain, mm-hmm. And organized different kinds of events and things like that. So mm. that's what I was doing. They didn't require that much active time during the my life. So that was why the first 10 years I was kind of like in the background, also supporting my, otherwise I was sort of like heraldic hang-arounder too at that time. So, but that was fun. Got to also know fabulous people that way as well.
Mm.
What sport was it?
Athletics. I taught girls to throw things like discus and shot put and
nice. Mm-hmm.
Not your average soccer there, just throwing things. That's yes. So cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think throwing things, that sounds good. I mean, we do that a bit in the SCA as well.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a skill that is worth having.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to throw axes around and stuff like that, so why not?
Well, I converted that to actually using bows to actually throw mm-hmm. items. So
yeah, because nowadays archery is a really big thing for you. Yes. So it's and is that something you came upon in the SCA? You started doing archery.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, actually. I remember having once shot the bow as a kid. I don't even remember when and what, but I just remember that I've done this before, but that really didn't pique my interest then, mostly because there wasn't a community or there wasn't anyone to talk to about it, and it just wasn't a thing. But in the 90s, when I went to Double Wars in the old site, I met some people at the archery range, and they were really welcoming, and they wanted, "Do you want to try?" And yeah, I wanted to try, and I just like hang around there for a while and started shooting. And after that Double Wars, I said, "Okay, I want to buy myself a bow," and that was it.
Yeah, that's where it's.
I really like that they just like drew me in. Mm. I didn't have to go there and basically say that I want to try. They just say, "Hey, you're there, just standing there watching us. You want to come and try some?" So that is something that I've always tried to emulate, and because that's how you make things grow.
Ah.
Try to recruit and be welcoming, because some of the things we do in the society have a pretty high threshold of starting. Mm.
Yeah,
and of course, archery requires some equipment, but I always carry with me a spare bow to give out to people. And hey, here's a bow, here's some arrows, come and shoot with us. So
that's really good.
Yeah, that's excellent. Because that's something that we, I mean, that's something that we want to work with to make sure that, I mean, even recruit within the society. So if we have a newcomer to an event that has already found us and is there for one or another reason, if we can make them interested in more things or different things that they didn't even know of, that's of course, that increases the chance of them staying in the society. And also the whole, even if they decide to not do archery or specialize in 14th century buttons or whatever, just the fact that someone invited them to try and to talk about it will be like, oh yeah, no, maybe this was not my thing, but the people were really nice.
Yes.
So that's of course a huge thing. So yeah, that's great. That sounds fantastic. And I'm also like, archery is something that I have been thinking about. It always looks really cool, and I tried a couple of times, and it's like, yeah, I should do more of this, and then I just kind of forget between events, and there's so many things you want to do, and then you have to prioritize, which is
but at Double Wars, come find me and I will give you a bow and we'll go to the range. So
absolutely
perfect.
Let's make a date.
Yes,
we need to do that.
Definitely have a date for that. That sounds great. So cool. So apart from archery, what else do you enjoy? I mean, obviously you said you stayed for the people, so you like to hang out with people. But in what other ways do you spend time with people when you go to events than archery? Do you do any other like specific things, or is it just sort of a
hang out? Basically at the events I basically just hang out. One of my other interest in the SCA is the calligraphy and illumination stuff. But that's kind of like things that happen outside of events.
Yeah.
And so that's not something I want to do at the events. Because events are, let's talk to people, let's meet the people you haven't seen in months spend time with them. But the calligraphy, illumination, the painting and writing is something that I can do home on my own desk and do something medieval in that space. Although I have organized a couple of scriptoriums for people in Arnimetz, so we get about to 20 people in a school. Like we had this scriptorium in a month ago. So we rented a school for a weekend and got 20 people there and spent the weekend scribing, just scribing. Put on the soundtrack of Gregorian chant and worked on that.
Sounds really cozy.
Yeah.
And when you sit like that, you can always help each other as well. If you, if someone like me, who I enjoy calligraphy, but I hate the painting. So you can meet someone who actually loves the painting and hates the calligraphy and exchange services there.
Yeah, especially we in Arnimets right now, we don't have a lot of people who enjoy calligraphy. So there are lots of people who enjoy drawing and painting and making pretty pictures, but the actual writing part is in somewhat shorter supply. So maybe we can make some trading.
I'll come over. Yeah. That'll be fine.
Yeah, the good thing. And I'm thinking also that the like things like the scriptorium, but also if you go to other events, even if you don't like sit down and work with your production of it, there can still be classes and an exchange of knowledge and like new techniques and stuff like that. So even if it's not like a, so that's of course the good thing of meeting people as well.
I'm really glad that the right now the although we have problems in the, let's say, the in the Signet processes that not everybody gets scrolls at the same time they get the, their awards, but we still, what back in the day, we still had cases where we did what was called combat scribing, which is like 3 hours before the court was going to be, somebody comes with a bunch of blank scrolls and and say we want people to scribe the scroll text and the recipient names on it, and I'm really glad we got rid of that. That's murder.
I mean, that was really really awful, because when you come to an event and thought, wow, I'm here at last, I'm going to hang out with my friends, and then just you happen to be sitting in a room somewhere with other people in you know, stressed out people just writing stuff.
Yeah.
And then the royalty gave out the scrolls, not even dry yet.
It's like, don't touch it, it's still.
That's not a great idea. I actually had a few of those made when I was queen, but that was for longer events. Like double wars, when I like in the beginning of the week, when you get there and you realize that, oh my God, this person is actually here. We didn't think they were supposed to come, so we wanted to give them an award, and then they weren't supposed to come, so we decided not to do that and not order the scroll, and then they're actually here. So we really want to give them this award. But then at the beginning of the week, I could actually ask someone then to, like, would it be possible for you to do this and have it ready, say, by Friday, and this was Monday? And they were like, yeah, no, that's fine. So, we had a couple of those made in a hurry, but with a very good result, and hopefully not too stressed out scribe.
I think it's a different with the longer event. Like if it's a week long war event, that's a whole different thing than that somebody saying, well, you now have 3 hours. Especially since I deal in my mundane life, I deal with a lot of deadlines and timetables. Yeah. I really don't want to be slave to a deadline at a recreational event. So.
No, that is true.
But I mean, some people find that quite fine, but I'm just not.
Yeah. No, I think you need to allow yourself some downtime. I mean, maybe doing it at some events would be okay, like if you're autocratting an event, and then of course you have to do work, but maybe you shouldn't do that for every event. You should also allow yourself to have events where you just go and you exist, and that's enough. It's the question of finding a nice sort of balance there as well, of course.
So. But sometimes people expect work of you. You, as I am, I'm a Laurel. Not Laurel. Pelican.
I'm like, you're a Laurel? Really?
I'm not a Laurel. No one here is a Laurel. Pelican. I was meaning to say Pelican. sorry, it takes I think from the start, you, as I, am a pelican. Yes. And we're sometimes expected to do stuff all the time.
Mm. Yeah, although I have grown better at saying no. That. Mm. Yeah.
So hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it
so
is.
So hard.
And also, okay, first step is ask for help. And that saying no is not something that. That is hard as well, in some ways, trying to recruit people doing things with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then again, when you do that, you get a nice crowd doing things with you, and then everything goes like dream, and it's like, okay, we just organized a big event, and mental capacities were hurt making this event.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No pelicans were killed during this event.
This time. Oh, and it's always good to have people around you helping you. I mean, it's if everyone does a little thing, it'll help in the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a thing, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that we should take a short break and hear a few words from one of our other listeners. And then we will be right back. And I think we should talk a little bit more about, I want to hear more about like which events you usually go to and what are your favorite events, and maybe something about events in Arnemetz as well. But we'll take a little break and we will be right back. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.
Hej, jag heter Olof Winter och jag lyssnar på Någonstans i Nordmark.
Splendid! Back on track.
Yay!
Back to Arnemetz to see what's happening over there. So close and yet so far. Yeah,
that was very poetic.
That was, especially when Arnemetz went back in the early days, it was apparently really, really hard to get anyone from the fighting circle to come to Arnemetz to teach the heavy fighting. I remember it was kind of like a semi-joke at the we could more easily get people from the central region than from Nordmark.
Oy, okay.
So far away. But that was back in the day.
Yeah.
I think we're a little bit better today in coming to traveling to Arnemetz, actually. So
we might have to explain to listeners from the rest of the world that actually Sweden and Finland is very close, and we have ferries going back and forth all the time. We can fly, of course, but the usual way to get between the countries, at least southern parts, are to take the ferry, which is
overnight ferry.
Yes, it's a story in itself. It's a very special thing.
Oh yes.
My next life, I will write an essay or a doctorate about how people behave on the ferries.
Oh god! Oh my god! Like a behavioral study. Wow.
The species of Homo sapiens in its weird habitat of the
Finland Sweden ferries. Oh god. Yeah, it's so interesting. But on the other hand, I mean, the convenient thing, and then the people who are not traveling normally between Sweden and Finland are sitting, so like, why do you do it then? I mean, it's because it's a really convenient way to travel. You get your car along because these are car ferries, so you get to bring your car. And it's actually a fairly, it's good value for money.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things, that it's not super expensive either. And you can buy a tax-free booze on the boat. Which is,
I think that's pretty much
one of the main reasons to do this.
Now the whole tax thing is with the EU and everything. It's less of an attraction, but
But like looking back at the 80s, it was a big thing.
Oh yes,
going on the ferries to get alcohol for parties and stuff. So that's a thing. But like, so I mean, we know, so we Nordmarkers have now become a little bit better on traveling to Arnemetse, to events, and you do come over here a lot, of course, and go to other places. So what are your, like, what are your favorite Drachenwald events? You might have others in the world as well, but like, what, which events is it that you would, wouldn't want to miss if you can control it in Drachenwald?
Well, I think have taken it as a habit to come to the both long war events, the Double Wars and the Cudgel War. Double Wars is important because it allows me to see a lot of people from the central region,
yeah,
and people from the Isles as well. So that's the main attraction, to spend a long time with people you don't often see. And of course, Cudgel War, I had a sort of long history with Cudgel War. I wasn't the, it's not really, I've been at the autocrat for Cudgel War for several years. And that was one of the reasons I got to Pelican for being the autocrat for that. And I also been in the organizing team for a long time, taking care of the registrations for the Cudgel War. So that's been kind of my thing for the whole summer. So those are the key events I usually go to. Then there are a couple of events like the Kekri, my local group Hukka, organizes every autumn, which is a nice small event when we can get to know some new people as well in there. Try to invite a lot of newbies there as well. So. And of course, then I try to travel a lot. I like traveling. I like going to different events in different regions. And one of the absolute fun events have been like very deeply focused on certain things. Like, for example, in Ireland, we went quite many times to Flaming Arrow, which is basically one weekend of archery. And unfortunately, that for the last couple of, after the COVID, that hasn't, my schedule has been such that it's not really happening. For example, this year, Flaming Arrow is the same time as a Double Wars, and I'm right now trying to I booked Double Wars instead, so there will be actually a bit, well, but Flaming
there'll
Arrow
be, there'll be Boar Hunt in Uniborg in October, I think. So
yeah,
that's also an archery event.
Archery, yep.
Yes. I think I've been at that event a couple of years previously as well. So that was fun.
That's nice. Yeah. It's fun with the sort of small, more special or specialized events, as you say, when you do the like the archery, or where you go and do, I mean, there was a silk painting event in around the Holmrike, Stockholm area, over Easter. So it's like to do this, like, okay, this is what we're going to do now for this weekend. We're going to focus on this.
Yeah.
So that's a cool thing. So, but if we talk about Double Wars and Cudgel War, then, so what are your favorite things to do at this event? So we can start with Double Wars, because that's the first in line in just a few weeks, actually.
Yes. Oh.
Okay. So what do you, why do you come to Double Wars?
Like I said earlier, that meeting people, especially from the central region, of course, you Nordmarkers are also great to be with as well. But yay, generally, just meeting people and touching base with them. I only interact with them on Facebook or things like that, and hang around with really cool people. So that's the main motivation. But then again, there's archery almost every day.
Yeah.
There are lots of classes there. Well, some of them I might go to, or some of them I might not. I'm not really, really into like textiles and things like that. So there are lots of old cool kind of garb thingies going on. So I don't usually go to them, but there are all kinds of interesting classes. I haven't looked at the schedule this year, or has it published yet?
Maybe.
I don't think so. I think it's next week or something. They were working on it, I saw.
Yeah. Mm. But basically, I just hang around and talk to people, and then I'm going to, and so on. So.
Yeah. And that's I think the strength of both. Mm. I mean, I have, embarrassingly enough, not been to Kajul War yet. But that's, I think, what I've understood, that is the strength of that event, just as with Double Wars, the fact that it's a long event. So yes, you do get the chance of just sort of just hanging out, and you don't have to stress, and you don't have to go to all the classes, because it's like you have all week. You can just do things at your own pace.
Exactly.
And if you have a day when you feel that you don't really want to people, then you can go and lie down somewhere with a book, because the time is there for it.
Exactly.
I think is a lovely thing, actually.
Yeah, that's the best with long events. I mean, short events, I mean, they're good, but you need to make all the time of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with us peers.
All the meetings and
the coronation and things like that. Mm-hmm. The meetings as well. Although I'm really sorry for royalty, which I have to sit for 4 times the meetings.
And luckily, it's just for a short while. I mean, it's 6 months at a time, so I guess it's okay. But
it's actually not that many events where you have to do like all the meetings.
That's true.
So it's okay. So it's but if we move on to, because we have of course in this podcast talked a lot about Double Wars in previous episodes, because it's one of the events that we keep coming back
Absolutely.
To. But we haven't spoken as much about Kajul War.
No.
So please enlighten us and tell us about, how long has it been around? It's been around for a while, right?
Oh, I should know this. Like 15 years or something like that. But this summer, we are also celebrating Artemis' 30 year.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So this will be big this year. Mm-hmm. So if your schedule allows it, please pop in. It's going to be epic.
Nice.
Yes. But I think the main attraction of Kajul Wars is, first of all, the better weather, because it is in the middle of July.
Yep.
So we actually, this year, Double Wars is pretty early in May.
Very early.
I don't know whether we're going to freeze our butts.
It's going to be cold.
So it's probably a bit more warm in July in southern Finland. So that's one of the things. And of course, there's the lake and the sauna, and lots of things happen there. So I've heard it described as a big summer camp for adults.
That's great.
Because people, if it's going to be really hot, people are going to just basically relax in the lake. There'll be like dance practices in the lake when it's been really like hot. So people have, of course, the correct headgear, but otherwise they are in very little clothing in the lake. So,
and that's perfect.
And because the lake and the sauna are just basically in the central area, so you don't have to like travel for 15 minutes in one direction to get it.
That's really, really nice. It sounds great. Yeah, I really, I'm not, I don't think, unfortunately, my schedule will allow for it this summer, but at some point I will. It, it will happen. So, yeah, it sounds great. The whole lake aspect really intrigues me, because it, like, I think that if possible, I spend as much time as possible in the water. That's where I feel comfortable.
Yep.
I am. Or a mermaid. I could be a mermaid, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. it's something that I really like. Yeah. So but so any other, so we have the two big, like the spring summer events. Do you have any other like smaller events in Arnhem so that you like to go to, or other? I mean, we talked about the Flaming Arrow, who's, that's not really happening, or like hasn't really worked out for you. But any other, or any other events that you've been to recently that you really liked, that you want to lift up a little bit?
Oh, well, I have a really bad memory. But I really, really like the Scriptorium events, like I told you. This one for focused events are really, really great. And also from the archer perspective, there's going to they are all like in Arnhemetsä, they have been like these so quote fighter camps or wood camps like that. They often invite archers as well, so there's a whole the martial community there, which is very nice. And I think there's going to be one, I don't know if it's going to be this summer or was it not autumn, but real soon now. So I'm going to attend that, to that, I hope. But I think the old events are nice in the sense that each event has their own kind of atmosphere. And for example, the one of the as an Arnhemetsän, it's really hard for me to tell there's one event in Arnhemetsä I've never been to, which is in January, February, there's this called Talvi Ilta, which is going winter night. That's translated. And they have like this a lot of storytelling there going on.
Oh, nice!
And then for very, I don't remember what kind of reason. One of those things that I'm always meant to. This year I'm going to make it to Talvi Ilta, but
good.
I haven't been able to do that. So.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to put these goals for yourself as well, and be like. Okay, I really need to do this now, because this is something I have thought of for a long
time. It's so easy to just stay at home sometimes, just just watch TV and work. Sometimes you need to decide, just need to do this.
Yeah. One of the problems we have here in Arnhemetsä is that we don't really have that great sites for bigger events. And those places we have used, they are... Every year they are going to test prices going up and up and up. Yeah. So they are basically pricing the sites out of our reach. So that's one of the nasty things that kind of prevent us to having as big events as we really wanted to have. So lots of events actually sell out quite fast.
It's this big problem everywhere. Like we need to have someone, you know, building a castle of our own so we can have all the events in.
Preferably one in each country.
Yeah. So there's sleeping arrangements for people.
Because I've been to some really nice sites in Arnhemetsä for events, but that they have all been smaller. Events where there has been like we know that this site is limited, it's really nice, but so that's why we choose it, but we can't be more than sleep more than 40 people indoors or something like that. But they have been fantastic though, like the ones that I've seen. So but I do understand your the problem there with the number number of indoor beds, especially if you want to do something in like, well, both our countries, if you want to do something in January, February, March, April, you don't, or at the end of the year, you don't really want people to stay in tents in November or February. It's not a great thing.
Not even April.
Yeah. Not even April, no.
I mean, some people are probably quite fine doing that. But
yeah. Absolutely.
But not the three of us.
I like my comfort.
Yeah.
And I also like warm.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. I especially enjoy not having my stuff wet. Like having my
thing
damp is a big no-no for me. Mm. Like I can sleep in the cold. I actually prefer that. But I don't want it to be damp.
Mm. Yeah.
I also don't want spiders.
No spiders. No.
No.
Nope. But stopped me from going to events like in Arizona and stuff. It's like.
Oh. I mean, I've been camping in Australia, so
yeah.
Try that. There was actually a tent and me, and the Australian outback. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. One of the cool events we've had in Arnimets as well. I just remember that it hasn't happened this year, but it's like every other year or things like that is called Diskendo Tota Etes, which is, I don't speak Latin that well. So basically it's an event where it's an ANS focused event. So lots of arts and sciences happening. And it's one of those practical things that there are all these workshops during that event, and you can go to workshops, you can do it.
Ooh.
Or like hands-on kind of do it. So in one of those events, I, for example, did some blacksmithing, which is not really.
Wow.
So there was this forge and everything, and I made a sort of D-shaped belt buckle. Mm. And I was like, cool, I made it. But people bought the equipment and things like that. So, that was really, really cool. So, I really like that type of events as well. You can try different muses. I'm one of those things who like fly from musing to musing. Quite eagerly, and then buy all the gear for that, and then forget all about.
But it's very common. It's a very common practice.
Yes, I've heard that there are other people who suffer from this the same problem.
But it's really nice to get the chance to try new things as well, even if it's something that you know that okay, I might not get stuck with this. This might not be something that I'm going to continue doing for the rest of my SEA life. But just to try it, to get the feel of how things are done. It's really cool, and I was at that event, the I can't even say it, but we called it disco. So it's very convenient.
Well, that was a disco event.
The disco event, and it was, and I really liked it. I was there as the queen, so I didn't have the chance to attend all the classes because I had other things to do. But it was a lovely event. It was a great one of those sites that I was talking about that I really enjoyed being at because it was so nice. Overall a very sort of nice, and you had the chance to talk to everyone because it's not that huge, and so very, very enjoyable. I like that a lot. It's amazing. So actually I'm sitting here looking a little bit at my watch near me, and we were sort of coming up to the point where we need to start wrapping this episode up. So Kerttu, is it something like, do you have any like final words, any recommendation to our listeners about when they come to Arnimetsä or anything else that they should think of or try, or just come and find you with the bow and arrow, of course, at events? Like, but what else do you want to say to our listeners?
Arnimetsä is a cool place, except in the summer during Cultural War, when it might be a hot place. come and visit us. And especially if you find me at an event, come and talk to me about archery. Do you have 5 minutes to talk about archery? Stay for 5 minutes, stay forever.
And then they will never be able to leave. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Point that out.
Yeah. Cool. So, and if you don't know who Kaitu is, you can always come and find me in Vanna, and we will point you in the right direction to where she is. So that.
And if you don't know who we are, just listen to his talk, and you'll probably find us.
You can look at the great our great logos and try and figure out. If you can see who we are in real life from the. From our drawings and
exactly, and if you like us, you can always buy the shower curtain.
Yeah, exactly.
From Red Birch,
you can have us both in the shower.
Does it have like bloody handprints or something?
No. It's what? Just
you
it's
have
just
to make the bloody handprints on your own.
Okay.
No, but you can get the shower. But you can get the shower curtain with the Någonstans in Nordmark logo with me and Vanna full size on that if you want.
Yeah.
We own one so far. So yeah, we know where it is. But if you want to say something to us about our podcast, if you have any ideas of like what you want to what you would like to listen to in the future, you can always email us at nagonstansinordmark@gmail.com. You can find the address on our Facebook side. You can also write us a message on Messenger or reach out to us in any way that you find.
We see everything, we hear everything.
Yes, or everywhere.
Yes.
No one's safe. So so I think that's all for today. Thank you so much, Kaitu, for wanting to be part of this episode of the podcast. We're very happy.
Loved having you here.
Yeah.
Thank you. This has been really absolute fun.
Good. That's the way it should be. I guess that's enough. That's all from us for now, and we will be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah. After this message from kort sammanfattning på svenska.
Oh, exactly. So we're gonna have the very very focused and good summary from the Baron to in Swedish. But other than that, from now, from all of us, we say goodbye and thank you. Back in 2 weeks, yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey.
Kort sammanfattning på svenska. I denna veckas avsnitt talade Bea och Vanna engelska. Igen. Den här gången har de tagit sig till vår östra rikshalva, Arnimetsä. Ett ställe som inte är så svårt att stava till om man bara övar lite. De intervjuar Kaitu Katarinen Tytter Roisko, som har varit med i föreningen nästan lika länge som Vanna. Kaitu är en av de där datavetare som föreningen är full av. Hon fann föreningen via rollspel och en medeltidspicknick i Sveaborg. Eftersom hon är datavetare så var hon också tidigt ute på nätet och lekte SEA. Långt före många andra, när SEA på nätet knappt var påtänkt. Rätt tidigt fann hon bågskyttet, och det är fortfarande ett av hennes största intressen. Hon åker gärna på evenemang, både i Finland och utomlands, där hon får skjuta båge. Till exempel Flaming Arrows på Irland, som tyvärr i år är samtidigt som dubbelkriget, så hon får åka till Skåne och skjuta pilbåge istället. Hon uppmanar fler att resa och se andra hörn av föreningen. Hon säger att alla evenemang har sin egen atmosfär. Så det är svårt att rekommendera något speciellt. I Arnimetsä, det vill säga Finland, heter deras största evenemang Cudgel War. Och det tycker hon såklart att folk ska åka till. Det är avslappnat, man kan tälta, och där finns en sjö. De talar om hur svårt det är att hitta bra lokaler till evenemang nu för tiden. Att det är dyrt Och det finns inte plats för så många människor i varje lokal, så biljetterna säljer slut fort. Det var bättre förr. Eller enklare i alla fall. Slutligen hälsar Kerttu att Arni Metsä är ett coolt ställe. Förutom på sommaren, då det också kan vara varmt. Kom gärna och hälsa på och fråga henne gärna om bågskytte. Om 2 veckor är Bea och Vanna tillbaka igen. För mer snack. På engelska.